You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, May 24th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series on the Trinity. The message focuses on Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, and is entitled, Power to Keep Going.
This morning, we're actually going to go back for just a few verses prior to this morning's Pentecost text, and our text for this morning is actually going to be Acts chapter 1. Beginning at verse 6. And so, as you are able, I want to invite you to stand with me as we once again hear God's word proclaimed in our hearing. And when I'm done, I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, so that if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, thanks be to God. Listen carefully, we're reading God's holy word. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed in by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him leave. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And may the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writing and the preservation of this word inspire it now in our hearing as well. Amen. You can be seated. So, this didn't work exactly as I kind of thought it would, but it was pretty cool nonetheless. Happy Pentecost! Or is the proper greeting Merry Pentecost? I'm not really sure. I'm guessing, though, that most of you do not have Pentecost turkeys in the oven waiting for you when you get home, nor did you probably max out your credit cards on Pentecost presents. I think that if there is one holiday that the wider secular world has given its blessing and said, Church, go ahead. You can have Pentecost. This is it. There isn't much competition. We don't have to talk about the materialization of Pentecost. That's because the wider world, I think, doesn't see the dream that God has for the world that happens at Pentecost. But then again, neither did the disciples on that first Pentecost either. So when we meet the disciples this morning back in Acts chapter 1, they're gathered around and they're standing sort of confused, looking up into the cloud. They're sort of stargazing. And Jesus had just given them these parting words that you will be given power and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Something about power and witness, and they're like, what? What are we supposed to do? I can just imagine them looking sort of confused, like up into the clouds with their heads sort of cocked to the side in the way that like a puppy dog looks at the wind or looks at the door when their master leaves for the day, you know, sort of standing up like, what's going on? They're thinking to themselves, what do we do now? He didn't really think or expect us to take over from here, did he? Then their cloud gazing was interrupted. A couple of angels standing next to them saying, Men of Galilee, why are you still here? This Jesus who's been taken from you up into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go. So the lot of them, it says that there's 120 of them, go back to Jerusalem. They go back to the upper room. And because they haven't the slightest clue what's to come, not knowing what to do or what to say, They do the only thing that makes sense to them is they see that there's a vacancy in their committee. You know, there were 12 disciples, and now there's just 11 after that whole Judas incident. And so, of course, not knowing what to do, they form a committee. We've got 11 disciples. We can't have 11 disciples. We've got to have 12 disciples. So they get together, and they form this committee. And the text says that Peter and the others bring two candidates for the job. They bring Justus and Matthias. And they cast lots, or they have their first century form of voting and taking a ballot. And the lot fell on Matthias. And so he was added to the 11 disciples to make 12. And then it goes that he was never heard from again. So about the time that they were done with their cloud gazing and their bureaucracy, it says that a violent rush of wind blasts through the place where they are. They're standing, and the text says something like tongues of fire fall down upon them. And in an instant, men and women who didn't know languages 5 minutes ago are now speaking languages that were completely foreign to them. When this happens, they're no longer looking up, but they're looking out. Do you believe this? Do you know what just happened? Any of you know what's going on? I don't. Do you? The Holy Spirit of God came down and rested upon them, and they were given power. But of course, in the mix, there were those who were astonished. And they sort of sneered at them and chided them and said, these guys, they're full of new wine. And then Peter gets up and starts talking about them, and he says, you know, these people are thinking that they're drunk or something. And Peter stands up and he says, he doesn't say that, you know, we're spiritual people so that we don't drink wine, but he says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a little early, don't you think? Now, when the disciples and the other 120 had settled down, after seeing this miraculous event, and they remembered what Jesus has said, that Jesus' words to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In our life of faith, so often we are after capturing those moments and memorializing them forever. It's why we love to memorialize monuments and moments and people. At Pentecost, like so many other experiences of signs and wonders, is a moment that the followers of Jesus are tempted to memorialize. But once you get past this initial event where all this amazing things happened, you realize what a terrifying event Pentecost was. Author and pastor Craig Barnes puts it this way: when Jesus was born, we were delighted because God is with us. When Jesus conducted his ministry, we were taught and challenged to be followers. When he died on the cross, we were overcome with God's love. When he rose from the dead, we were surprised by the hope of eternal life. When Jesus ascended into heaven like the first disciples, we were terrified to discover that he calls us to be his witnesses. And at that first Pentecost, we discover that the Spirit actually gives us power to do this. Holy Spirit is the gift of power to witness to the risen Jesus in a world that is in need of hope. In the Bible, you'll notice that no longer are the followers of Jesus referred to as the disciples. Now they're referred to as the apostles. The apostles. And the word apostle is a Greek word, apostolos. Apostolos. That just means the sent ones, the ones that are sent out. From now on, they would have a job to do. And their job was to witness. The Savior of the world entrusts the final chapter of his story to you and to me. And we are to be his witnesses. Now, I think that we are standing in the midst of a time of just unprecedented opportunity and blessing here in Wabash and in this church. This is our time, opportunity, to go from a time of memorializing the past to a time of moving into the future. Because we continue to live in the midst of God's unwritten chapter. As one author puts it, we're not the embalmers of the past, but the enablers of the present and the empowered people for a new age. At Pentecost, followers become apostles. The sent ones are sent out with a job to do. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that the one who believes in him will do greater works than even he. And what's your job? What's our job as followers? Jesus tells his apostles that you will be my witnesses. Notice he didn't say that you're going to go out and you're going to do the same thing that I did. Notice he didn't go out and say that you are going to go and change people's hearts. He didn't say that you were going to heal the sick, give sight back to the blind, raise dead people from the dead. That was mostly Jesus' job. What he did say was that you were going to be my witnesses. And what does a witness do? Witnesses don't make things happen. Any courtroom judge will attest that he or she doesn't want their witness to be creative in their telling of the event. Just tell them what happened. Just tell them what you saw. Just tell them what happened in your heart. Each and every one of you has spent the last week carrying out a whole laundry list of daily tasks. You've changed diapers. You sat in meetings. You visited relatives. You went to the dentist. You took the kids to practice. In all honesty, that doesn't sound like greater things, like the Apostle Paul said. But what it does sound like is an opportunity to witness with real people in real situations what the risen Lord Jesus is doing in your life. That's what a witness does. Witnesses don't provide salvation. They attest to it. Jesus is still the Savior. He or she takes notice of what Jesus is doing in the places that for most people go virtually unnoticed. But with people like you and me, pointing out where Jesus is at work in those minute moments, we are sharing grace with a world that needs it. It's like spiritual show and tell. And the great irony is that with lots of little people like you and me doing things just like that, the world changes. Lives change. It's not fanfare. It's not triumphal, signs and wonders. It's not fanfare. It's faithful. Perhaps that's what Jesus meant when he said that we would do greater things. Maybe he meant that through a lifetime of little moments of faithfulness, where we point one another back to the Savior, the world can actually change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.